Hi, everybody. Will here with this week's interview chair, none other than my son, Adam Bernard. We were planning on doing this when I was down there from New York. We never got around to doing it. Just have a fireside chat. Well, here we did it now. Hope you enjoy yourself. Well, guess what we have for everybody today? We have my son, Adam. I was planning on doing this when I was down there visiting him. We were going to sit down and just have a chat, but we never got around to it because he's a very busy guy. And I was out.
We're too busy screwing off doing other things.
Exactly. So now we have Adam and myself together, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to put Adam on the interview chair, and I'm going to add my 2 cents once in a while, but here goes. Welcome, Adam. How are you, buddy?
I'm here, man.
Good to see you.
How you doing? We have Monty in the background making some noise back there, but it's all good.
It's okay. It's a dog channel, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's start right at the very beginning, young man. Even before you got to me, when did you start your career in the sport of dogs? And how old were you? I remember seeing pictures of you at your sister's wedding, and you were like 7. I don't know.
Well, I was 12. I was just a short 12.
Oh, sorry. I was the same way. Never mind.
Maybe 11. But so when I was 7 years old, my grandfather had passed away and my mother's house burned down. So we made the trip from New Brunswick to Calgary.
Which is right across the country for all you people that don't know Canada. It's like the
New Brunswick country.
New Brunswick is like the East Coast, and then Calgary is almost Midwest. It's the prairies.
Exactly. North of Montana. So I had never met my sister up until that point because she's my half-sister. And when I went to Calgary, we actually stopped in Moose Jaw where my mom's sister lived. And
should we explain who your sister is first?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. There's a lot to explain there. So we stopped in Moose Jaw, which is another little town in Saskatchewan, which is in the middle of the prairies. And she showed up at our house one night, and I, not knowing anything, never really talked to her before. She shows up at our house with this little toy poodle that she was top play with at the time. So my sister is an Albert handler, and I was very intrigued by that. I was 7 or 8 years old. So go for a couple months, and then we end up in Calgary. And when I got to Calgary, I got to meet more of my family and got to spend more time with Shauna. Well, Shauna had a grooming shop, which, I got to spend a lot of time with until I went to Will's when I was about 14. But if I wasn't going to dog shows with Shauna, I was in the grooming shop, on the weekends and after school and learning toy poodles and
all
kinds of stuff. Shih Tzus, yes. I owned a Shih Tzu. That was my first dog I ever owned, a Shih Tzu, Sally. But it was a great introduction to dogs. My sister was an incredible groomer, still is. She had won inner groom a couple times, 1 year old groom a bunch of times. It gave me a really good foundation and a really great work ethic because she was a workaholic and it made me into such a thing as well. So in that time, I got to meet Will and Allison at the time. And I really enjoyed when they came west because, they had all these famous dogs that I got to see in magazines and such things. And I'd follow them around at the ring. It was great. I remember when you were showing Adele, it was like, oh my God, it's a celebrity. That's the way we looked at it as a little kid. Like it was amazing to watch. So, I remember watching you go group second with Adele. And I remember wanting to go work for you so badly because I loved watching Adele. I wanted to learn how to do that. I wanted to get away from the poodles and learn that. So luckily enough, Shauna and Will were very good friends and kind of set that up when I was 14. So I went out to your place when I was 14.
Yeah, I remember. This little big man wandering around my house.
Rolling generators on top of myself and stomping around the house.
Stomping around.
It's amazing I survived.
And eating me out of house at home. Like, I couldn't believe how much you could eat back then.
It was pretty incredible. I remember working for Shauna and basically She would say, everything I made in wages, I spent at McDonald's. Because it's true. I would go to McDonald's. I'd spend $25. Oh. I was this 5'2" kid that could eat everything.
Well, I remember I would order pizza at our local pizza place. And they'd say, is this Adam? I'm like, no.
speed dial. It was great. Yeah, I loved when I moved there. Everybody that delivered all knew me by name. It was good. So, but yeah, Shauna was a very good influence on me in my early years. It got me. I didn't have the best childhood growing up. I had, you know, a bunch of shit happen and stuff. So it was somewhere to put my head. It was somewhere to point me in a direction.
Yeah.
And that's what gotta love about the sport of dogs. It does that for a lot of kids.
And when you came to me, you were like a sponge. You would follow me around and ask questions, and it was, and you would do anything. Like if I thought I was a task too hard, you'd still do it. You'd still try to do it. You know,
I might screw it up, but I would try. God, I remember when I first went there, you always told me I had two left feet, could never walk in a straight line. It was bad. Well, but you learned that shit.
Only because I loved you.
You couldn't have loved me at first. God, I screwed things up. But you were patient with me. And that's, you know, I would like to say I learned that patience from you, but I'm still not that patient. I don't know how you survived. I don't know how I survived without you killing me.
Oh, well, we had some good times, and you were a great assistant. And anyway, you went on. You were with me until what year?
I don't even remember. 2003, I think I moved down here. So I was probably with you 6 years.
Yeah.
So that's when I, you know, moved down here and learned other things.
Yeah, but you went to work for RC Carusi at that point, right?
Yep, Mars. You know, working for Shauna and then working for you, I felt like I had a really good base in everything but terriers.
Yeah.
Not that you weren't good at terriers. Not that Sean couldn't do terriers.
I'm going to tell you, I was never comfortable with terriers. So I'm.
Yeah. But it was, you showed them, you showed the Sealies and you showed Airedales here and there and you did stuff. And, you know, I remember the first time I was learning how to do flat work when I knew I was going to work for RC and you were talking to RC on the phone and he was trying to explain it to you over the phone that it was evenly spaced holes. And that, for the life of me, I couldn't understand until I went there. Evenly spaced holes. That seemed bizarre. But it was a knowledge that I didn't have. So that's why I wanted to go work for somebody that could teach me something I didn't know. You know, not that I think I still learned more from you after I left than I did when I was there. Not that I didn't learn an amazing amount when I worked for you, but it was almost like I learned more after the fact, because then I could actually apply the things I learned from you when I was a kid, then going to work for RC, who is this great trimmer and has such an attention to detail like you did, but it gave me the tools to apply those things, you know, because day one, you go to RCs and you're trimming dogs in the kennel because there were so many terriers in the kennel. There was always dogs that needed to get trimmed. It might've been nothing that was being shown, but you still had the ability to trim things. Sure. So then I was able to start taking those techniques that I watched you do and asked you how you did them and why you did them and started up being able to apply those things and just an overall understanding of how those things work. And then when I actually went out on my own, then it was, I could really ask you those questions.
What year did you go on your own?
I was 22 when I left RC. So
I went on my own at 22 as well.
Did you really? And ironically, that's when Kate ended up having to go out on her own as well.
Oh, I'm losing you there.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, 22 was my first year on my own. So.
Huh. How about them apples? Who did you work for first when you went out? Like, you left Gary's because he passed away.
Yeah, Gary's. And then I went down and worked for Bobby for a while, Bobby Stebbins. Lucas Stebbins and Herbless. And then when I came back up here, I was on my own. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was Garrett a big part of that for you? Like pushing Garrett? You go out on your own?
Yeah. Okay, you're trying to turn this around now.
See, yeah,
Garrett was very important to my education as a handler as well. Garrett Lambert. He Gary taught me a lot. Bobby taught me a lot, but Garrett taught me attention to detail. But we're here to talk about you, young man, not me.
I'm still gonna ask those questions. See, and like I know when I went out on my own, Robin Novak was the one that pushed me to go out on my own more than anybody, I would say. You know, we traveled around a lot with when I worked for RC. She was always kind of around. She was showing that Springer Dog RB at the time. And it was just happenstance that we were very close. And she was the one that said, why are you going to, because when I left RCs, it didn't end very well. We're friendly now, but it took a lot of years. But at the time, I didn't know what to do with my life. I didn't know if I was going to go back to Calgary, if I was going to go back to you, if I didn't go back to Ontario in general. I really didn't know. And she was the one that basically said, you know, you have the tools to do this. You have the skills to do this. You're ready to go out on your own. No 22-year-old kid thinks they're ready to go out on their own. But I had also spent, you know, better part of 15 years going to dog shows almost every weekend, working for, in my opinion, some of the best people in the world.
Yeah, preparing yourself for going on your own, really.
Yeah. You know, I think that's like what we lack in our sport now is some kids just think they can go out and show dogs with no knowledge. You know, it's not just trimming them and showing them. It's the care and it's the, you know, when do you take them to the vet? When do you, you know, do all that extra stuff? That's what you don't get that. There's no notebook for that. You know, when you tube a dog, when you don't tube a dog, you know, when, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
You see it and it's practice.
And it's the education you've had over the years. Like I was the same way. I was like, I learned those things. I learned a lot of that stuff from actually Garrett. Garrett taught me a lot of that stuff.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. How to care for, I work for Gary and I work for Bob and they were both fabulous. Bobby was fabulous. But, Garrett really pushed in my head that the dogs came first.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. It was a good growing up. And, I loved the experiences I had. You know, working for you was fantastic. Growing up with your son as my little brother, you know, he was great. You know, I still consider my brother today. And being around Monica and Allison and how much I learned from them, you know, it's funny because I see Taffy at dog shows and how much Allison and Taffy remind me of each other, you know, like just things they do.
Yeah.
And they're such good dog women. And, you know, watching Monica, she wasn't in dog shows for so many years, but all she cared about was the dogs. You know, she didn't care about the winning. She didn't care about any of the other stuff. She just loved the dogs. So it makes you, again, appreciate those little things more. And then you go to somebody like RC, who's so attention to detail. The attention to detail is second to none. Like that, everything, like clipping water buckets to a crate in a certain direction, you know, just little things. You just, but it's all those things. And you then pass those on to the kids that work for you and try to make them better. And they don't realize it at the time, just like I didn't. I was like, what the hell is this crazy man telling me to reclip the water buckets? Like, who cares what side of the crate they're on? Well, it's the little things that make a difference.
Yeah, it does make a difference, right?
You know, how you clip an X-pen. Yeah. You know, as long as dogs don't get out, who cares? Well, no, you clip the top of the pen because you don't want to get a dog's foot caught in it. There's little things like that. So
it's true.
It was good.
So you're 22 years old. You're on your own now. What direction did you go? How old were you when Emily came along? Emily was the RSF.
I was 25.
Okay, so we had a few years in between where you had some.
So I had really at the beginning, I got lucky in a couple of ways. You know, when you had your heart attack, I had just left RCs for the first time because I had gone back and forth a couple times. But when you had your heart attack, I went up and showed dogs for you for that month where you were out of commission. And in that time, I got to win a Best in Show for my very first Best in Show on a breeder bitch named Maria that Ellen Joe Myers owned.
Under Bob Gillum. I remember that.
Bob Gillum. Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Gillum.
So that was kind of part of that and just whatever. So I go out on my own, I think like 6 or 8 months later. And one of my very first clients was Ellen Jo Myers. She hired me to show the dog you were showing a little bit in Canada after Rio was done. So I showed that dog and I got I think I had like three or four dogs to start off with, all decent dogs, all did really well. I won a best in show on an Airedale dog. I won a best in show on that Briard dog. Got an Irish setter. I don't even remember how. Jeff and Becky were the ones that got me that Irish setter dog to show, very first one, dog named Max. And he did really well. He won a bunch of specialties. I made him top five and just kind of went forward. And then, you know, I just grew my business a little bit. At that point, Jamie and I were married, living on our own, and life was pretty good. You know, then Linda Stark came along. She had a wire hair bitch that I was really excited about. And it just kind of fell apart, you know, when I was supposed to start specialing her. I got up the bitch finished. She placed in a couple groups. Then she sent her to somebody else. I was devastated. Devastated.
Wasn't that the bitch I showed?
Ended up being the bitch that you showed after Jane showed her.
Yeah.
She was a beautiful bitch. I loved her. She was a sweetheart. But, you know, you kind of said everything happens for a reason.
It's happening.
That time, I also got another client named Donna Grant. She was going to pay for an Irish setter dog for me. And this really good dog. And by the time I finally got him, Pandoric Perfect Timing was his name. Beautiful type of dog. Just lovely Irish setter things. From a distance, he was perfect. But by the time I got him, he was 6.5. He was just kind of broken down. Wasn't really the show dog that I wanted. So I remember going to dog shows in Hartford. And first company, Governor Spookard, in downtown Hartford, underneath the hockey arena. Just as whatever building. I'm showing Alex. Pat Trotter does the breed. And this bitch is behind me. And we go around the ring. I do my down and back. She does her down and back. And she comes up to me and she goes, "If you're smart, you get that one." Gave me the breed. Well, it was Emily. So Debbie comes and talks to me. She had already gone winner's bitch at the National at that point under Pat Lauren. She had gone winner's bitch with Lauren Morgan under Ambolus. And they come and talk to me. Nancy Connor was kind of involved with Debbie at the point that she was going to help pay for her. And they asked me if I was interested. Well, at that point, Alex wasn't doing a whole lot. Like, I'd finished him, got a couple group placements, but he just wasn't going to be the dog I thought he could have been. So I started showing Emily, and she started off right away. She was winning big breeds regularly, placing in groups. And the next thing you know, she wins her first best in show in May. So it's in a matter of 3 months, I won my first best in show on this bitch. And she's been placing consistently, winning groups consistently. Months later, after I won her first best in show, she wins her national. And she's just 2 years old. Like, she's a baby. And, like, we didn't want to push her, but we weren't really sure what to do. I remember stressing about it with you so much. Like, I don't think she's ready. I don't know what to do. You said, you go with a hot hand. If it's working, you just roll with it.
Yeah, strike while iron's hot.
She won four best in shows that year and then won, 38 the next year and a couple of the year after that. She did amazing, you know, and I would like to say it's just timing. Everything worked out. I was a 25, 26-year-old kid, made a lot of mistakes. You know, I'm sure I pissed a lot of people off. You know, I was cocky and stupid and young and thought I was in charge of the world. You learn. You learn. Yeah. You know?
Especially when you know why I was in charge.
Exactly. But, you know, you don't realize at the time how you act and how you're going through it.
Of course not.
You know, I don't know about you, but there's always going to be those dogs in my head that, like, I wish I could redo that dog's career. I wish I could do things differently about that bitch's career because she was so special and she was so great. I just wish I would have appreciated it more at the time.
Yeah.
Just because I was so worried about going to the next dog show, winning, doing it. And, you know, you go best in show, who's judging tomorrow? Where do I have to go tomorrow? And luckily I had a very good support system. You know, Jamie was fantastic through that whole bitch's career. Nancy Connor pretty much supported me, whatever I wanted to do. It was great. But do you have any dogs you regret their career? Like, how you redo them?
Oh, for sure. Like probably your Emily is my beef with Impresario. And I was 22. Well, I often wished I'd had him later on when I was more ready for a dog of his quality. He went. Yeah. He was top dog Galbree when I was 22, and I didn't know what happened. Really, you know, yeah. It was so fast, and I just hung on. But I think back
to him. Yeah, what could we have done now with those single dogs? Exactly. You know,
things would have been a little different. It was calmer, and he probably would have won more. But he still, to think he won that much with a stupid 22-year-old kid running behind him, I was pretty proud of him.
So. Oh, exactly. Yeah. We were very proud of ourselves at that point. But I just look back and wish I could redo some things. You know,
for sure, it's going to be. But you're going to see that all the time. So Emily won the group of the garden what year?
2012. So she was number one sporting dog in 2010.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, of course you're right. You're a dog.
She was top dog, top sporting dog in 2010, number three all breeds. She got retired beginning of 2011, winning her 50th Best in Show. And then she got bred that same year, because I remember, because the Bruins won the Stanley Cup that year. Remember all those games we went to?
Oh, yeah. It was a great year.
Yeah. So we had all those puppy on Doomsday, May 21st, 2011, when they were saying the apocalypse now, blah, blah, blah. And then, so she had 15 puppies, and then we got her back in shape. And looking back on it, she had no hair when she won the group of the garden, but she was in great muscle, and she tried her ass off, and she was great.
Yeah, it was a fun night.
2012.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Just a crazy day. You know, all the things had to happen right.
That's what happens, right? So all the cards line up and all comes down to timing. Our good old friend Mar took down won a variety that no one expected she'd win, and that opened the door. And
so. Yep, it was crazy. Never in a million years I think that would happen at that point. It just, everything worked out.
Yeah, it was an exciting year. Exciting year.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So after that.
After that, I started showing dogs for Valerio Card, who was probably, as a client, one of my biggest influences is who I am today.
Yeah.
Dr. Card, she's a brilliant, brilliant breeder, brilliant vet. Monty, settle down. She was just a brilliant client. Like she pushed me. She made me better. I wouldn't say she was a control freak by any means, but she was just a brilliant person that strived for excellence with everything she did. And she instilled that upon me all the time.
Yeah.
And I had great success with two Airedale bitches of hers. The first one did well, but again, I was so young. I don't remember how it worked out. I think I did. Chrissy was before Emily, and she won one Best in Show and won a bunch of groups. I want to say maybe she won like 35, 40 groups. Only won the one Best in Show. But it was the same time as Jenny was showing the Max dog. And then down the road came this beautiful bitch named Wispa. She wasn't the most stable bitch in the world, but she was beautiful. Like, she just had the most beautiful legs on her, beautiful back, very pretty face. Everything about her was beautiful. But she was always lived life on the edge. So after her, I got a bitch named Splenda. And Splenda was my reward for getting through Wispa. As beautiful as Wispa was, she was challenging. Splenda was the most fun dog you could ever have to show. You know, she just came every day. She loved everything about life. She wanted to try. So it was great showing her because she was just fun. Everything about her was fun. So, and then after that came Adrian. So I would gone to the 2000.
What year did you and Kate get married?
Kate and I got married in 17. So we started dating. I got divorced with Jamie in 2012. We started dating between 12 and 13. In 2012, I had gotten Adrian because I had gone to the National in California and I drove out there. That was Peter and I. Both drove to California, thought it'd be a great idea. We did Woofstock and then we did the National, and it was hotter than Hades. It was like it was this week in California, like 110 degrees. And I remember getting out there and trimming dogs, and Kenny, who's like my mother, Ken Wall. There's another story to go with that in a minute. Yeah. So Ken Wall is trimming this Irish Setter dog. And, you know, we always kind of trim dogs together and help each other out. And we're trimming this dog. And I'm like, oh my God, it looks beautiful. And he's like, wait until you see the next dog. So he brings the next dog out, and he's younger, but he's this beautiful stallion-y dog. dark, dark red back coat, you know, young, didn't have a lot of hair, but he was so pretty. Well, ended up being Adrian, and I took him home from there, and he ended up winning the national the next year. But that was a dog, the most rewarding dog I've ever shown, because he was beautiful, but he was frustrating. It took him forever to learn things. But once he learned it, he was a rock star.
Yeah. And that's a dog that, like you.
I don't know what you're talking about, Lynn.
Sorry. Anyway, so, carry on.
Big Red was just one of those dogs that was special. You know, I've shown it a lot of amazing dogs. That dog probably touched me more than any other dog because it was so much work getting to where he needed to be. I remember calling you and getting frustrated and seeing you at dog shows and weird work on things. And you could see what he was, but he just didn't always help you. And once he finally got there, he clicked on all cylinders and he would never quit. Didn't matter if it was 110 or freezing outside. That dog gave me everything he had every time I walked in that ring. My favorite best in show that I ever won on that dog was at Somerset Hills. It was 110 and all the top dogs were in that lineup and he didn't quit. He still had second gear. Like I remember going around the first go around and he went best in show both days at Tuxedo Park and then Somerset. Tuxedo Park was just as hot. It was Lynette Saltzman and he went around and she had won him free bit at the end. And he just bam, bam, stepped into it, tail off his back. And I stepped back off of him. It was like Michelle's best in show moment with the short haired bitch of the garden. It was just great. And then the next day it was a little bit hotter. And again, all those same dogs were in there. And we go around the ring. And that dog just, again, every time he would go around the ring, it had a second gear. Like you could just feel it. It was one of those like, okay. And then he just opened up his legs more and go harder. It didn't matter how hot it was. He would barely pant. Just did it. It was a special dog.
Yeah.
So anyway, and that kind of led into a crazy year.
But he didn't, he ended his career. He's reserve best in show at the garden though. So.
And he went reserve best show at the garden. And then that same year, Kate was starting the giant dog Ty.
Yeah.
So 2017 was a big year for Kate and I. It started off with her going to the West Coast to learn how to show her giant dog. She needed to get away from me for a while to figure out how to show her dog. So she goes out there and then she comes back right before the garden, do the garden. Adrian goes reserve best in show. Okay, I guess he's retired now. So she's going to keep on going with the giant dog. I end up having neck surgery in July while she's running for top dog all breeds. We get married in September. Mid-career, like, so we get married during the week, fly to Vegas, and randomly, like, we were planning on a big wedding, a vacation wedding, and we're like, you know what, let's just go invite all our people. 30 people all showed up in Vegas. We got married, flew back Friday night, showed Saturday, Sunday, won two more best in shows on that dog. It was a crazy year. It was between reserve best show at the garden, top dog all breeds, getting married, had neck surgery. It was a crazy year. But it all worked out somehow, some way. So it was pretty special watching Kate do that year. And, you know, just 2017 was a great year. So
it was exciting.
Got married, the love of my life, and just crazier. So, and then here we are today.
Yeah.
Happy wife, happy life.
There you go. So we've talked about this, but you still got some other dogs in your back pocket that you're waiting to bring out and do well with, I'm sure. What dogs have you looked at in the past that you wish you could have been a part of or just looked upon them very fondly and made a big impact on you?
Well, the biggest dog for me growing up was that Andrew dog that you showed that Mark Bettis won the group of the garden with.
Oh, like the bearded dog, yeah.
It still was that dog that was so cool to me. I remember that first summer that it came, like, this dog won the group of the garden? I was 10 years old, 12 years old when he won the group of the garden. But then, you know, he was there and he got to be my dog and I got to play ball with him every night. He was special to me. He might not have been perfect. But I was a kid. I don't really remember. But I would have loved to have been part of that dog's career. Like, that dog got to be mine to show. That was a special dog to me. That Springer dog that we talk about all the time of I'm going to break Marks.
Mark.
Robert, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, he just seemed like a special dog. Again, I was a little kid. I wish I got to see that and be part of that. You know, that was a cool dog.
Well, that whole year was an exciting year. I was one of my most exciting gardens to attend was year Robert won. So.
Was it really?
Yeah, it really was.
Did everybody see that coming at the time?
Well, he was one of the top dogs. So, you know, he always thought he was in contention. But it's the garden. Anything can happen. And I loved him because he was such an athlete. You can say what you want, kick on him if you want to. But as a dog, as a show dog, and a Springer fan, I loved him. He was one of my favorites of all time. And just to watch him perform. Mark and Bonnie turned him into an athlete. And he was an athlete.
Had to be special to watch.
It was very special.
The other thing I would have loved to have seen or been part of or whatever is I remember in my sister's kennel, there was a picture of the Wire Fox Terrier dog, that Patty dog of Pierce.
Yeah.
Gazzo Excellence. And beside it was the picture of the dog in California.
So there's special edition, George.
Yeah, George. Picture two of them on that board. Both very different dogs, but both just incredible to look at. And like hearing the stories about them growing up and how special they were. Like that would have been cool just to be around to watch and see it happen.
Yeah, it was.
You know, to growing up with you, you know, watching Marquis would have been special to me. I never got to see that. You know, we show so many foxhounds. I would have loved to have been around to see, you know, Winslow be shown. There's those dogs that
call George. He'll tell you all about it.
We talk about it every once in a while. Not gonna lie. You know, it's just, I love hearing stories of old dogs and how those careers went down and things that happened. There's lots of them, you know, things that Kenny showed, you know, the English setters, and watching you and Kenny compete against each other, watching his bitch, you know, watching the Gordon Setter dog, all those things make you who you are because you want to be those things. You want to see those things happen. I don't know. There's lots of them.
Yeah, oh, exactly. The library is endless. Me as well. Yeah. What about
like watching Mick win Morris and Essex and everything that weekend, knowing he come over from Europe and then doing all that stuff. Everybody talks about these dogs. Like, there's lots of great dogs that are shown, but there's very few truly special ones that have that extra just mystique. Well, mystique.
So you've met so many people over your career now, and what mentors do you have then?
I have lots of mentors.
Well, of course, we all have a lot of mentors. Some that they don't even know are our mentors. It's true.
Yeah. You know, for me, like, there's people that I am today who I am no matter what, because they're in my life. You know, my wife, you know, like, she's my equal. She's my wife. She's my partner. She's my everything. But I love watching her show dogs. I love watching her work. I think she's amazing at what she does. I wouldn't be today who I am without you and Kenny. You know, Ken Wall calls me 4 days a week, every week, just check on me. Just no, doesn't want anything. Just wants to know that I'm good. And, you know, I do the same thing with him. He's special to me. You know, he would have been my, what do you call that at my wedding? He stood up for me, obviously, as one of my groomsmen, but he was also in the mother, father, fixer, you and Kenny, and then Kate's mom and dad. You have what you have.
God. Yeah, we gave you away, me and Kenny.
I don't even know how that works. My brother is probably one of the biggest influences in my life. My brother's just an amazing human being. You know, see the struggles that he's gone through in his life, and he's makes you just want to be a better person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah. God.
So optimistic.
So many people. Well, that's it. You know, to have his disability and still fight and not care. Right now he has two broken bones in his leg because he's kind of an idiot like me, but he just, you know, gets up and goes through life. Most people will be miserable and, you know, fighting. Yeah. He just keeps on going. So lots of people to look up to in our sport. There really is. Sure. You know, for lots of different reasons. Some of them because what they do in the ring, and lots just because they're good people.
That's true. And sometimes we overlook that because we don't look at that side of them. And it's amazing that they're that good because they are that person as well.
You know? Yeah. Like I look at somebody like David Fitzpatrick, and he's just humble. He's won everything he's won. And he's so humble and such a nice person. You know, you look at somebody like Kelly Fitzgerald, who's amazing at what she does. And, you know, if you want to ever go ask her anything, she's willing to help anybody if you're willing to ask. Linda Pitts, same thing. You know, there's lots of people out there. If you just give them a chance, they're willing to help. They're willing to make you better because that's who they are. But you have to do it. I don't know.
And that guides me into my next question, Adam. What advice would you give for a young handler or someone that wants to get into the sport?
Be humble. Never be afraid to ask a question. You know, you can never not learn enough. There's always something to learn. There's always somebody to ask a question of. You know, going back to the role models and people that, you know, Bobby Fischer, I've picked his brain about so many things over the years.
Yeah.
Holloway. Ask him so many questions. You have to ask, you know, you have to want to seek the knowledge to be better. And, you know, it's not about the winning the pretty ribbons and the big prizes of the dog shows. Yeah. That gets us all that mystique and you want to do it. But those very few moments of the glory of that kind of stuff doesn't replace the little things, because you know we might have gone reserve best in show at the Garden twice and won three groups to the Garden, but there's a lot more of the little things: spending time with your dogs, training your dogs, you know, being around them. And I want those kids that are coming up in the sport to appreciate the little things, because those are going to get you through the bad days with clients. Those are going to get you through the bad days overall. It's the dogs that are what brings us all here. Just always appreciate what they're there for.
No. I agree. I've been under the firm belief that if you do things right, the rest follows. It does.
Yeah.
You work hard and do things right, and you're going to have
to. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I've always kind of looked at it, because that's the way you kind of always taught us, is it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's not, don't force a situation. You can't force it.
Yeah.
True. So I think the kids just need to realize that they need to work hard and enjoy the little things.
So what's next? What's next for you and Kate? Like you're still in the middle of your handling career, but are you two both going to go on to judging, you think, or what's the shot?
I think when Katie and I are done showing dogs, whenever that'll be, but it's hard for me. And Katie and I are a little bit different. Kate loves this. She'd do this until the day she dies. I love what I do to a point. It's a hard life. You know, and again, COVID was bad for us and great for us. COVID was great for Katie and I. We got to spend time together that we never got to do that before. There was nobody around. It was just her and I for 4 months. It was wonderful. We loved every minute of it. But you realize there's more to life than just dog shows. I think that's another thing kids need to realize. There's more than just dog shows. There's more out there. So where we'll end up, I'm not really sure. I don't think we'll judge. I think we'll be in the sport somehow, some way.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll judge. You know, I'll always breed my little Griffons or breed some Irish Setters and go forward. But, you know, it's a hard sport. Look at you. You've had both your hips done. I've had neck surgery. You know, you look at the list.
I've only had one hip done.
Now,
had a heart attack, and then my hip, but I'd only had one hip done.
A heart attack at 39, a hip replaced by 55. Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be something else. I love learning. I'm a freak that way. When I learn something, I go all in. It's all I think about. It's all I want to do. It's the way I've always been. I become obsessed. Like, I got into photography a couple of years and I wanted to learn everything I could about cameras and everything I could about photography. And then from there went into, you know, Photoshop and Lightroom and learning all that. And then the last 7 months, it's about crypto. I'm obsessed. Like, I go through phases where I'm obsessed with things, and it's what I do. Kate, she loves her dog shows. You know, she loves showing her dogs. So we'll figure it out no matter what we do. I don't know where we'll end up.
I have another question for you. I asked this of everybody. If you could meet, well, I'm going to say, the 20-year-old Adam Bernardin, what advice would you give him now?
Take care of your body.
Yeah.
Don't eat McDonald's till you're fat and happy, like I did when I was a kid. Appreciate the little things.
Yeah. Excellent.
Appreciate the little things. That's really what it comes down to. Appreciate the little things. Get up every day and just appreciate those. You don't know what's going to be over.
That's true.
How about you?
Oh, well, you know, that's a very different story. But I have to say, though, I'm glad I've been part of your life, part of your career. And it's been, I've been so proud to watch you and Katie do everything you do and just think that I have a small, I'm on that team. You know, I can be there.
You're a captain. You'll always be the captain.
Well, you make me very proud. Let me just say that.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it. And you know what was fun for me? I couldn't be there for the whole thing, but watching you judge best of breed at the Arizona National, which is a breed that we both love to death. You were so happy just being in there judging them. Yeah. I hope you the best of luck judging them going down the road, judging everything. I think you're our Mrs. Clark going forward. Not that you're tall like that, or you know, carry that weight. You know, kind of deal.
I'll do my best. I promise. Anyway,
I hope so.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate your time.
Love you, man. All right, sir. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Adam. And I was telling the truth when I was. I tell you how proud I am. I really am. So, if you like what we're doing here, make sure you press the like, share, and subscribe button. If you want to find out what's happening in my world, go to willalexander.net. If you need to get a hold of me, send messages to dogshowtips@gmail.com. And don't forget about the Dog Show Drive, our podcast, Wayne Kavanaugh and myself, every Thursday on your podcast channels. Thanks. Bye-bye.